Welcome to episode 70, 5 must-know words in sales. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. This week, I want to talk to you about some words that can help you better understand how to do your job and how to get more sales. Lots of us out there looking for more sales. We're very capable of it. We just don't have the tools to get us there. So today in this podcast, I'm going to give you the tools you need to be successful that we know you are. The successful agent or the successful salesperson that you are out there working in your real estate career. Well, let's start it off with one big word. Presupposition. What does the word presupposition mean? Presupposition is actually something we suppose of a situation before it actually happens. So whether we're going into a contract or we're working with a person, it's something that we think we know about them or that we're going to suggest we know about them in the talk that we do. Saying something like, people like you and I understand these things is a way to create a presupposition about somebody. It's a way to tell them that they are just like you, and you can suppose that of them. It's not that the supposition is that they're just like you. You can suppose anything of them. But in sales, the presuppositions we usually use are to like ourselves similar to them, or to make sure we focus on what the targets are that they're trying to reach and meet through buying our product, and we can presuppose ways that our product will help them in the long run. Let me give you an example. So if I was selling a mentor product right now, and I was talking about coaching, there's two ways I could do it. First, I have the conversation, people like you understand you're failing and you need people like me. You're not going to be successful without me. So by buying this class, you're going to double your sales right away by having access to my unlimited knowledge in your platform. Or the second version is, people like you and I understand the importance of training, and that's why I put together this great training program to help you find the inner beast that's already in you. Are your sales lumping and you know they should be better? Buying this program is going to get you double the money in no time. Notice the first one, I assumed the person was a loser. No one likes to be assumed a loser. It also makes them start thinking things like, I'll never have the car that guy has. I'll never have the sales that person has. I'll never be able to do what they do. They've already told me. And then the second one, I said, people like you and I understand the need for training. That's why I created this program. I created this program because I understand that you are a great salesperson and you just needed it to go all the way great. Where are some other places we can use this? So let's think if we're on a real estate appointment. If we're working with a buyer of a property, we could go on one explaining why they should be working with a buyer's agent versus working with the listing agent. We can tell them things such as you know, the seller's agent works for the seller to get their best interests and get them the most money possible for the home. But by working with a buyer's agent, you get your own representation. I imagine someone like you understands the importance of having your own representation, at which point you're going to get the answer yes, because they aren't going to say to you, I don't think it's necessary to have my own representation. We can do these things on the other side on listing, where we say to somebody, you can understand the importance of a digital IT tech company doing the sale of your home, and then you can reference back to companies like my company have been built from the ground up, IT facing, and really are exactly what you need. By getting these people to understand that you're presupposing of them, that they understand these concepts, and then you're introducing that you fulfill these concepts, you're going to introduce the idea that they really need to hire you in order to have their sale go correctly, whether it be a purchase or it be a sale of an actual listing. No matter which side you're on, you want to presuppose things of them that make them like you and make them understand that you do not think that they need you. You think that you can only further escalate and make them the hero and make them find the end line that they were already going to find. It's just that much better by hiring you. I hope that helps. I definitely would look a little further into that word, presupposition, and figure out exactly how to utilize it in your sales talks. Next, the word yes. The word yes is overused in real estate. We constantly are saying yes to things that we shouldn't do, whether it be somebody looking to do a listing for less than our normal price that we would be willing to do on a commission, all the way down to saying yes to appointments that you know the person has not got their pre-approval and that there's not a chance that you're going to be selling them a home that day and then having to say no later to somebody who does have a pre-approval. So the word yes is a dangerous word, but it's also a positive word. The word yes can really help us out in sales by asking people things such as having them ask you, maybe they ask a couple questions, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how old is the house? And then you go through and you ask them, the bedroom number is 3 bedrooms. Does this answer your question? Yes, great. The house is heated by oil. Does that answer your question? Yes, great. And then the next question would be the house was built in 1917. Does that answer your question? Yes. And then you say, when do you want to see it? Now, if we take somebody through a whole bunch of positives and yeses right before we ask them if they want to make a sale with us, you're going to see an increased rate of signing on those contracts. You're going to find more people willing to work with you. So by learning how to get people saying lots of yeses, constantly affirming things, constantly putting out a positive message, when it's time to put the contract out and say, are you willing to sign? If a person's been saying yes all day, they naturally say yes, a lot easier than if they've been saying no all day. But careful about intentionally getting them to say no's, unless the no you're trying to get them to say is basically a yes because you're telling them they should not do what they should not do and they should stare back to you. Now onto the word no. The word no is the opposite of the word yes, isn't it? Well, sometimes. Sometimes we want to know. Sometimes we want the word no because we'd like to be let free, whether it be when we're calling a lead endlessly and no one's answering. I'd much rather they just answer and tell me no and to go away. There's no's that are important in lots of places, but where's the power in the word no? Where's the most important no? It's learning how to say no. It's learning how to say no to that low commission listing that wants you to go on. It's learning how to say no when a client who goes low commission and then they want you to pay for the home inspection problems. Be careful. The same people that cause you trouble in your business will always cause you trouble in your business. They'll continue to grow the troubles, and then they'll also start telling people about you because their friends probably are similar to them, and then they're going to come in and abuse you. So you don't want the idea out there that you are the agent that is basically spineless and willing to do whatever it is that they say. No matter what segment of the real estate industry you're in, you're going to find these same people. They're the ones who shop the rate to the last second. They're the ones who beat us up about the percentage of our commission. They're the ones who don't want to accept an offer that's within a couple grand of $1 million. They say it's too much to bend. Then they're the same person who doesn't move out on time. They happen to be the people who, when home inspection goes wrong, they want you to pay for the fixes. The same people are always involved in all these things. So by learning the word no earlier, by freeing yourself up, sometimes you can create something that's almost like an immeasurable gain. Because instead of spending your time with this negative energy and this terrible not going to happen deal, or if it happens, it's way underpriced and way undervalued and cost you way too much time, by saying no, you create the opportunities to say yes to other things that may be more profitable or an easier venture or have more ways to create offshoots and grow your business larger. I know a lot of times people get sucked into these no, no, no clients because they might hold huge real estate holdings, or maybe they seem like somebody who can make you a lot of money. But if you get this sign really early that they're starting to cause trouble, it's time to pull the plug, it's time to move on, and it's time to utilize your calendar for what it's really for, which is to fill it up with as many different appointments as you can. Diversification of appointments is going to help you ultimately know, no matter what happens, that you're closing. Sometimes having one client that's a huge segment of your business can be really tough, say if they got furloughed or if they decide they don't like you anymore, or any of the different things that can happen. So learning to say no to people who at time sucks, that are not giving you what you deserve and are not treating you like a professional, it's going to grow your business. So this is our second. So first we had presuppositions, then we had yes and no. Next, let's talk about reasonable. I just want to talk about reasonable really quick. It's a really dangerous word and it's a really dangerous assumption. Often during home inspections, something comes up, whether with the buyer or seller, where the word reasonable comes out. Person sees a crack window, they just think that the seller should fix it because any reasonable person would. Or the seller just thinks the buyer should just deal with the window because any reasonable person understands it's only worth $200. I educate my agents all the time to make sure they're more of mentors to the clients. We do call our agents here at Movementum Realty Move Mentors. The reason for it is we mentor them in the process. And one thing I mentor my clients on is we never want to assume reasonableness of another person. Many reasons. As the agent, when we say some reasonable person would do such and such, if the person doesn't do it, it naturally makes everyone believe that they're unreasonable, which can lead to further arguments in the whole entire transaction. We don't want to incite problems in the future by inciting a reasonableness clause that a normal person would do this, because if the other party does not do what we think they're going to do, they are now unreasonable, and no one likes dealing with an unreasonable person. One thing about reasonable is it's a word that involves emotion. In real estate, we're fact-based. We're how much money? Is it $5,000? Is it $10,000? We're very facts and figures oriented. Throwing out random things about being reasonable is more pulling emotion into the deal. Go back to the facts. Stay away from reasonableness. Never deem anything reasonable or unreasonable. instead of saying and assuming maybe that somebody would do something, oh, it'd be reasonable, yeah, they'll definitely take care of it. Instead say, let me check with the seller and see what their feel is on this. I will check in with them. And when you come back and maybe they say no, instead of announcing it as, I can't believe they say no, it's so unreasonable of them, say, unfortunately, the seller did say no to our request. How do you feel about that? Don't inject your own emotions into the deal. I'll go over a further podcast in the future about emotions in real estate. But for today, just remember, don't assume reasonableness on people. It can be a very dangerous place to be. Next, let's talk about tonality. So we've done presuppositions, yes and no's, reasonableness, and now we're talking tonality. Tonality is my voice. It's everything from the ups and downs and the slow and the fast and everything else that we do with our voice in order to get people to do what we want or them to hear our emotion and how we feel while we're talking. Tonality is enormous on the phone. It's why they say smile as a salesperson. It's why people use NLP. It's why people try to figure out ways to make themselves happy before they talk to sales customers. Tonality is everything in getting people to understand your message. When we're person to person, we have a lot of other social cues that go on, body language, other things like that, which I'm going to talk about next. But when we're on the phone, the most powerful tool we have is tonality. Do you sound excited? Do you sound knowledgeable? Do you sound like you know what you're doing? Are you the person who opens their computer and struggles while they're on the phone with people and keeps saying things like, hold on a minute, or does the most obnoxious thing, which is, let me see here. Who likes listening to that? It was even awkward just for the few seconds I did it on this podcast. Get rid of that from your talk. Be ready to answer questions. If you cannot answer the questions, write the questions down and tell them the time you're going to call them back. You can call them back later, tell them the answers to the questions, push them through all the yeses, get them to sign a contract and move forward. But just remember, we need to use our voice to explain things the way that we need to explain them. One simple concept that can help you understand this would be the text message. If I write H-A-H-A and I say ha-ha, or I go ha-ha, that's two different tonalities, right? One, I laughed, it's funny, it's cool. The other one, I said ha-ha, and I laughed at you versus laughing with you. Now, that's something the text message does not allow, but the voice does. In sales, we want to use the voice as often as we can. You do need to remember that you have two ears, two eyes, one mouth. Use them accordingly, meaning speak only 20% of the time, listen or watch for the other 80% of the time. When you do speak, make sure you listen to the tone. Make sure you do constructive criticism of yourself. And if you have recorded calls, make sure you go back and listen to those recordings and see if the tonality was there. Also, on the inverse of tonality, make sure you're listening to the other person's tonality as well. Sometimes you'll hear that somebody basically wants to get off the phone with you. Let them off the phone with you. I know a lot of sales training says keep them on. I'm a big fan of get them the information they need, set up the call back, and call them back. Build it up over time. Not everybody wants to spend 20 minutes with a salesperson on the phone. Some people want to get the details and they want to run. Those are the people that are great to work with, but you just got to remember, treat everybody the way they wish to be treated. Remember, the golden rule is wrong. It's not treat everyone the way you wish to be treated. It's treat everybody else the way they wish to be treated. When you start doing that, you start listening to the tone of your voice and you listen to the tone of their voice, you're going to have way better connections and communications throughout the entire process of selling them whatever it is, the product that you sell. Let's talk, last but not least, about body language. So we've done presuppositions, yes and no's. We've done reasonableness. We've done tonality. Now we're going to talk body language. Body language is something that we as salespeople need to understand. We are constantly out there meeting with people, and we're constantly offending them. Everything from shaking people's hands wrong to walking and standing in their way, we don't watch the body language we're seeing. We have people giving facial expressions. It's really important to become a body language expert. Body language is a really interesting topic that doesn't even need a language such as English or Spanish or French or any of these others to be defined. Smile is a smile. A frown is a frown. Standoffishness is standoffishness. Are you aware of body language? Have you ever studied it? As a salesperson, you should look into body language. You should totally understand what you're conferring by the way you're standing. Are you standing impatient? Are you standing like you want to leave? Are you standing like you're relaxed? Are you standing like you're lazy? There are different ways we stand. Are you staring at someone versus looking at somebody? How are they feeling? Are you looking at them with a question mark face like you're waiting for an answer? These are all things that when we learn to control them, when we learn to properly use the body language that we're trying to convey, we can ultimately help people have a smooth transition of understanding us even when they just met us. This is something very crucial for those of us who meet people all the time who we don't know. throwing off the wrong body language, the wrong tonality, reasonableness, all these suppositions, yes and no's. We miss on these. We lose sales we didn't even know we had. You know why? Because real estate and all other sales works like a snowball. The more you have, the more it grows, the easier it is to roll more and connect more and more and more. When you miss a sale, it has an exponential growth factor that's impossible to identify. I hope these words, like presuppositions, yes and no's, reasonableness, tonality, and body language make sense to you. I hope you go home, study them really hard, put them to action. Make sure you listen to your recordings, critique yourself, be willing to talk in front of the mirror, listen to your recordings if you do videos, check everything out, put them in place, and you'll make more sales right away. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate all you guys. If you haven't had a chance yet, make sure to go out, check out the Facebook group, check out the blogs, as well as make sure to join our newsletter to find out all the information. If you haven't yet told your friends and family about it, make sure they subscribe to each and make sure that you subscribe. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week. I look forward to talking to you next week.